Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we focus on our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 3, which describes the greatest rescue mission in all of history. Now, last week we had the blessing to be able to go visit my mom and my family back in Hinsdale, Illinois. And on our way back, we saw a billboard that got our attention. I don't know if you've seen the Pass It On billboards that talk about great values that we want to pass on to other people. I've enjoyed those. I think that's a great thing. But I saw one that got my attention, and it was quoting Abraham Lincoln. It says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Abraham Lincoln, civility, pass it on. Now, that is an important quote in American history. Lincoln himself spoke that at Springfield, Illinois, talking about the division in the country as the United States was on the brink of civil war. Now, Lincoln is rightly regarded as one of the greatest leaders and one of the greatest speakers in American history. But he did not originate that phrase, "a house divided against itself." In fact, that phrase was first spoken by an even greater leader and a greater speaker, our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 3 says, Jesus says, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand." What does that mean? What did Jesus mean by "a house divided cannot stand"? Well, in this section of scripture, Jesus is referring to the greatest war of all, not the war between states, but the war between God and Satan that has been going on since the dawn of creation. Long ago, back in the Garden of Eden, Satan defeated humanity through temptations to sin. And we have been suffering the effects of that defeat ever since. Jesus in Mark chapter 3 declares that he is on a rescue mission to defeat Satan and to rescue us from sin and from death and from the power of the devil. And that's what we want to focus on today. What did Jesus come here to do? But first, we have to start by talking about our defeat, the defeat of humanity at the Battle of Eden. Way back in the Garden of Eden, Satan tempted Adam and Eve to sin against God. God created Adam and Eve and put them in a beautiful garden, paradise, where they had everything that they needed, everything that they could possibly want. But Satan had rebelled against God and was looking to draw humanity into that same rebellion, to join in his rebellion against God. And he succeeded. He succeeded by tempting Adam and Eve to disobey the one rule God had said that they must not disobey. "You may eat of any tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." How did he do that? How did he get Adam and Eve to fall for that sin? How did he get them to fall for that temptation? Well, Satan used two main attacks on Adam and Eve, and it's important for us to see what those attacks are because Satan still uses those same attacks today. In fact, he uses them all the time. The first attack is that Satan attacked God's word. The first words out of Satan's mouth from Genesis chapter 3 are, "Did God actually say?" Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Is that what God really said? Notice how he undermines the truth of God's word. And that's what he continues to do. He does so at every opportunity. The Bible has been around for thousands of years, and it has stood the test of time. But that doesn't mean it hasn't been attacked. In fact, the Bible has been more criticized, more attacked, more slandered than any other book in history. And the Bible is still standing. It continues to be the most influential, most powerful, and most life-changing book in all of history. Why? Because the Bible is not the word of people. It is not the collected wit and wisdom of the human race. No, it is something far more than that. It is the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Remember, Satan's first attack will always be on the scriptures. The last thing he wants you to do is read the Bible or put it into practice in your life. The second thing Satan does is he appeals to Adam and Eve's pride. What does he tell Adam and Eve will happen when they eat from the apple? Notice what he says. Verse 5, "Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." That has been Satan's temptation from the beginning. That is his favorite tactic. Pride is such a dangerous sin. It makes us put ourselves above God. It appeals to us because of our sinful nature. We want to call the shots. We want to be in charge. We think we can do better, but that is a lie. Proverbs 16:18 warns us, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride brings death and destruction to every person it touches. It is the complete anti-God state of mind, and it brings nothing but death and misery. Satan used these two attacks, and Adam and Eve fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And from that point on, the human race has been in bondage. First of all, we've been in bondage to the devil. Satan is the greatest tyrant and dictator the world has ever known. All the great dictators, the evil dictators of history, pale in comparison before the power, influence, and cruelty of Satan himself. He is the world's biggest bully. He is vicious, he is ruthless, he is powerful, and he hates you. And for those who don't belong to Christ, according to 2 Timothy 2:26, he can compel them to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, "being captured by the devil to do his will." In fact, what we see over and over again in the Bible is those who didn't belong to Christ, Satan could literally possess them, taking over their mind and their body. He is powerful and he is cruel. But not only are we in bondage to the devil, we're also in bondage to sin. Jesus tells us that the person who sins is a slave to sin. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." John 8:34. Apart from God's help, we become slaves to sin. We don't control sin. Sin controls us. We become sin addicts. We can't stop sinning. We can no longer think or do for ourselves. In fact, sin will dominate and control our lives in every way possible, making ourselves and those around us completely miserable. That's what the fall has done to us. The fall made us and put us in bondage to the devil, put us in bondage to sin, and third of all, bondage to death itself. With sin comes its partner, which is always close by, which is death. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and all die because all have sinned. Death has been the human race's constant enemy, the dark reality of the world we live in. We are in bondage to the devil and to sin and to death itself. And how can we set ourselves free? As Paul writes, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" We can't. We can't set ourselves free. We need someone to help us. We need a rescuer. Who will rescue us from this bondage, from this body of death? Well, Paul does not leave us in suspense. He tells us in the very next verse that God, in his great love, has sent a rescuer into the world. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 7:25. This is what Jesus is explaining in Mark chapter 3. He is explaining that he is here to defeat Satan and to rescue us all from his power. In Mark chapter 3, we have our rescuer, our Savior, Jesus Christ, explaining his mission. Jesus has been healing people and casting out demons, and the people are amazed. The crowds are all around him wondering, how is he doing this thing? But the scribes are jealous, and they accuse Jesus that the only way he is able to cast out demons is because he himself is working for Satan. And so in Mark chapter 3, Jesus exposes this idea for the nonsense that it is. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. So that's where Abraham Lincoln got his quote from. Jesus is explaining the absolute lack of logic on behalf of the Sadducees. Why would Satan fight himself? It's not just 100% wrong. It doesn't even make sense. Jesus is not here to work with Satan. He is here to destroy the devil's work. 1 John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came, to defeat the devil once and for all. And here in Mark chapter 3, he explains how he is going to do it. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. So who's the strong man and who's the stronger man who defeats the strong man? Well, Satan is strong, no doubt about it. Much stronger than we are. He is powerful and smarter and stronger than us. And by ourselves, we have no chance. But we are not by ourselves. God sent his one and only Son into this world to bind Satan. And Jesus is much stronger than Satan. He's the stronger man who binds the strong man so that then he may plunder his house. Jesus is here to plunder the devil's house, earth, and take back what rightfully belongs to God, namely people. Jesus is a one-man SWAT team who is on a rescue mission. He is a one-man group of Navy SEALs who comes to defeat the devil and rescue the prisoners held hostage. Jesus defeats Satan. How? Through the cross and through the empty tomb. At Mount Calvary on Good Friday, Jesus Christ died for the sins of all people and then rose again 3 days later in order to rescue us from our enemies. Who does Jesus rescue us from? He rescues us from the devil. He rescues us from sin. And he rescues us from death. You see, the devil is defeated, but not dead. He is still fighting. He is still attacking. But we are no longer defenseless. Jesus gives us his very own Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And he that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Not only that, God gives us armor for battle. Take up the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand up against the schemes of the devil. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Through God's spiritual weapons, and through his word, we can stand strong against the devil and his schemes. We are no longer powerless victims. We are instead able to join the Lord in his great mission of rescuing people from sin, from the devil, and from death itself. Jesus rescues us from the devil. He rescues us from sin. Now, sin, of course, is still with us. We do have a sinful nature, and we will until the day we die. But the sinful nature is no longer in charge. Instead, through baptism, we are born again as new people in Christ. One time, we were slaves to sin. We had to do whatever sin told us to do. But we are no longer slaves. We are free people, set free by the power of Christ. And in baptism, we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Jesus has rescued us from the devil. He's rescued us from sin, and he's rescued us from death. Colossians 1 says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of God's Son. Death is still real. Death is still part of the world we live in, but death is no longer the ultimate enemy. It is no longer the frightening enemy it used to be. In fact, death is not the end. It is only the beginning. It is a doorway into everlasting life. Jesus, through his powerful resurrection, has transformed death itself into the path to everlasting life for all who believe in him. Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of light and life. Jesus has accomplished the greatest rescue mission of all time. Through his death and through his resurrection, he has rescued us from bondage to the devil, bondage to sin, and rescued us even from death itself to everlasting life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.